parte Lorenzi, eccolo il cross tagliato di testa, Keita, gol! Il magnifico rettore!
Live from the CG Technology Studio.
Boom, boom, shake, shake the room.
In the entertainment capital of the world.
What a strike! What a goal! What a comeback! What a game! There are no words to describe it.
It's the TC Martin Show.
Léger hors jeu, mais cette fois-ci, il n'y en a pas pour Marco Reus. Très fort devant le but.
Your daily prescription from the doctor, TC Martin.
Largo pifio, Messi la tiene, Messi. Ahí está Iniesta. Gol! Gol! Cerebro Iniesta.
The doctor is now in.
Go! We'd talk about it if it was a Bundesliga game or Germany was involved.
It's even better. It was Liverpool.
Like I said, if it was something meaningful like Bayern Munich or Borussia Mönchengladbach or the German national team, yeah, we'd have it. And where's my guy? Where's my guy, Frenchie? Where's Frenchie? He comes strong last week with the France call.
Yeah, Griezmann,
Pogba. There you go. All right, so you're happy. Liverpool won. For those that don't follow soccer or can care less, Magnum was in hysteria today because I don't know why he's a Liverpool fan, but
they had a couple miraculous from Liverpool.
Oh, that's nice. No, I'm just giving you a bad time. So, miraculous goals for Liverpool today against Barcelona, right?
Basically, the best team in the world on paper.
Well, they're not better than Bayern Munich. Come on,
Liverpool beat Bayern Munich, by the way.
Yeah,
twice
this year. But look at Bayern Munich, top of the table in the Bundesliga. I think it was like 28-5 or something.
Yeah, they're going to win the league again.
Yeah, Liverpool 4-0 today. You like that? Barcelona eliminated the Champions League for the second straight year after winning the first leg by 3+ goals. That's amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, it really is, because they have arguably the best player on the planet in Leo Messi, and they've got a lot of other really good players as well, but oh well.
There you go. All right. On the program today, it is a terrible Tuesday. You know what that means. We get to vent our frustrations with what we've seen over the weekend in the sporting world. Of course, your favorite day, our favorite day. You can hit us on Twitter at TCMartin21 and at Fox Sports LV for your terrible Tuesday takes as well. And also, we've got to talk about the NBA playoffs tonight. We've got the Sixers taking on Toronto, Game 5 in that series. And also, we've got Denver and Portland, both these series tied at 2 games apiece. And over on the ice tonight, NHL Stanley Cup semifinals, we've got Dallas and St. Louis going to a Game 7 tonight. And St. Louis, pretty heavy favorite, $1.65 favorite on this one. So looking forward to Game 7 tonight between the Blues and the Stars. Right now, we're going to start the program and talk a little Vegas Golden Knights with the new, I love saying that too, new general manager, Kelly McCrimmon, who was promoted last week from assistant general manager. And it's great to have Kelly on the program and chat with him for a few minutes today. Kelly, how you doing?
Doing real good. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. Well, Kelly, you've been with the organization for the last 3 years, as we know, helping build this roster. You may be getting new business cards, but do you feel that the job will actually be any different for you?
Well, it's been collaborative since day one of year one, when we put our first season in with the preparation for expansion. You know, George and I split the teams in half, and have really operated that way pretty much throughout. It's been a great working relationship, and that will continue. And I think what it does is it allows us to continue with the good work that we've done here through 3 seasons uninterrupted. So that's really what we felt was the positives of the situation.
Talk about the timing of the move and the announcement to promote you up to general manager. Why do you feel this move was made when it was?
Well, our season came to an end. We had our exit meetings with the players. We had meetings with our coaches, and following those, George and I sat down to meet, and it was an idea that he had been thinking about for some time. When he brought it forward, it was it sure caught me off guard. I hadn't considered that possibility, and took some time to think about it. Talk to my family, and got back to George that I would be interested in that. At which time, he in turn then spoke with Bill Foley, our owner, and that's where it began, and that's how it came to fruition.
You know, we've talked about this before, about, and you mentioned right there in the beginning about collaborative effort between yourself, George McPhee, Bill Foley. We'll even throw Gerard Gallant in there. And I remember when we had Bill Foley on after the season ended, we were talking about the structure of the organization, the player personnel, and just, you know, basically looking forward. And he puts you in the same sentence as he did with George McPhee. And it really has been just a great working environment with all of you guys together, hasn't it been?
Yeah, we're extremely fortunate. I don't know that happens in sports organizations or organizations, period, to the degree that it has here. Bill really enjoys how George and I work together. And certainly from his standpoint, he's really happy that everyone is still going to be in the organization, and that's really we think positive. One of the things that George and I take the most pride in was the quality of the staff that we hired going back to that summer of 2016. We put together a tremendous group. We had a clean slate. We had no one that we were inheriting, as sometimes happens when you take over a team, or any favors that were owed to anybody. We tried to find the best people we could to fill out our hockey operations team. We believe strongly that we did that, and that's really collectively far more than just George and myself. That's the foundation of all of the good things that have happened here with our organization.
And I think there's a lot of people out there that feel, Kelly, that you are a very hot commodity, and with Seattle coming in the league, and they don't have a general manager. Edmonton had an opening until today, where they finally named their general manager. Were you contacted by either of those organizations or anyone else?
There were teams that had reached out to George for permission. Mm-hmm. I think that was part of the the reason for the discussions that we had. I didn't speak with any other team once George laid out the possibilities here. That was where my focus was, and fortunately that came to pass, and I got the opportunity to be a general manager, but very important to me to be able to do it with the same people that I've been working with here for 3 years.
You know, we hear a lot about loyalty in sports, and a lot of places, as you know, it's not there. And, for a guy like yourself, I know that loyalty is very important, because you basically had two jobs, 27 years before this, and then and then 3 years, here with the Vegas Golden Knights. So you had to feel that sense of loyalty and that bonding with Bill Foley and George McPhee. Do you think you would have considered possibly leaving if there was a general manager position open with a big fat salary attached to it?
Well, I can't speak to that because it didn't happen. I think the point you make, certainly I do feel a lot of loyalty to George and Bill, but just as importantly, I sure feel it back from both of those people. And I think it's important. And I've been able to be in good situations all of my professional career where that was an expectation that there'd be great loyalty to the organization that you're working for, that the decisions that you would make on any given day in any given situation would always be based on what's best for the organization. So that's how I've always carried myself, and I feel that's important. And again, I also really value that I receive it back in return.
So it's probably safe to say that you're not going anywhere for a while. Like I said, 27 years with the Brandon Wheat Kings of the Western Hockey League, 3 years here with the Vegas Golden Knights. It's really weird. You've got some great stuff on your resume, but not too many different organizations, right, Kelly?
Well, I'm proud of that. I think that's something that I feel good about. I mean, it's rare in the hockey business, certainly, that you'd ever be one place for 27 years. But in terms of having a chance to own a team, in terms of having the opportunity to raise my family in one city, those things were all really special for me. And although I worked outside the NHL for the majority of my 30 years as an executive, I always felt I had one of the best jobs in hockey doing what I was doing with the Brandon Wheat Kings, which I guess would in turn, in some small part, explain why I continue to do it. It was, never got old. It was always a challenge. I really enjoyed the age group of players that I worked with in terms of the impact you have on their lives. And then, it's just been a tremendously exciting experience coming to Vegas, coming to the National Hockey League, learning under George, and enjoying the success that the organization has enjoyed. But just as importantly, seeing the ambition and the focus on the effort to continue to get better and build on what we've done.
Kelly McCrimmon joined us, named general manager last Thursday by the Vegas Golden Knights, got promoted from assistant GM. Let's look at this roster, Kelly. You and George made some key moves last offseason and at this year's trading deadline as well. How active do you see the organization being this offseason?
Well, as teams get better and better, they become closer. They move closer and closer to the salary cap. So that's a situation now that's a reality for us. So it makes your decisions a little more delicate, and it's just another contributing factor into what you do or perhaps don't do. But we've had all of our efforts since the season ended have been towards making next year's team better in the short term, and certainly in the longer term, our preparation for the NHL draft. We've got our amateur staff in town this week. We had our pro staff here last week. So, we've got a lot of really good people at work in this organization. It's great when we get everybody together. It really generates good discussion, good ideas, and ultimately, we think, good decisions.
From a player personnel standpoint, what do you feel this team needs?
Well, I think that I don't think we feel the need to rush out and significantly change a whole bunch of players. But I think that if you're doing your jobs well, you need to be aware of what the landscape looks like, and you see if there's an opportunity where there is a chance to improve your team, whether it's incrementally with one player, whether it's something bigger. You owe to your organization to always be working towards improving and coming closer to winning a championship. And interestingly, for fans, they would always equate the level of activity to moves being made. Well, that same level of activity, sometimes even more so, takes place in lots of situations where no moves are made. But again, you do your work. You make sure you're current and up to speed with everything that's going on in the league. You need to know your own roster. You need to know the rosters of the other 30 teams. And you try to stay prepared and ready to ready to have discussions if they present themselves.
I mentioned that we talked to Bill Foley. It was a day or two after the season ended. And then we had Riley Smith in here last week also. And we talked to both of them about the way the season ended and how unfortunate it was. Now, obviously, I know that that still pains a lot of people to talk about. We've had a little bit of time here. I'm curious. I want to get your perspective on the controversy in Game 7 against San Jose, and then also how you felt that the season ended in your eyes.
Well, my reaction would likely be similar to anyone else's that is in our organization or our players or our fans. So I don't know that there's much more to say about that. I do know that we've got busy looking forwards, not backwards, in terms of what we're focusing our efforts on. And you know, if you're around the game long enough, you're going to have some things that happen that maybe shouldn't have happened or leave you disappointed. But, you know, you can't dwell on it or let it define you. You need to, for me, you know, take whatever out of it there is that's going to make us a darn hungry hockey team next year, a very determined hockey team next year. And really, at this point, that's all that we can take out of it. And as I said, our efforts are, you know, currently towards next year's team. So that's what we're focusing on. And you know, outside of being asked, you know, in a couple of interviews over the last little while, it's not something that we're talking about in our offices. We're moving on.
Exactly. Kelly McCrimmon joining us, the Vegas Golden Knights' new general manager. Kelly, before we let you go, what is your vision on how this team will look come October, and what will be the message to that team?
Well, it's you know, every year is a new year. You see how hard it is to make the playoffs in the NHL, so you have to be you know, prepared, in shape, ready to start. And you know, the first objective is to make sure you're a playoff team. I think from there, you want your team to look like you think a team needs to look to give yourself a chance to be a championship team. And those are the things that you know, we spend countless hours working on, discussing, talking about. We think we're closer you know, today than we were a year ago. You know, that's you know, that's our mandate. That's our objective, is to try to continue to get better, continue to improve. And I think that you know, our season ended sooner than what we would have liked. I find, from my experience, that generally leads to a pretty determined group coming back that following season. I think the way our season ended only adds to that. So I'm excited for training camp. I'm excited to see what we look like as we get everyone back here for camp in the fall, and moving on to the preseason and then the regular season.
Have you been watching the rest of these series and how they're unfolding?
It's been really busy. I've only caught bits and pieces of games. Just haven't had literally the time to be able to do it. So we have just had a lot of things going on with the different meetings, with you know, discussions with Bill and George over the move, with me being promoted. Just a whole bunch of things going on that have taken priority over some of that. Of course, you see enough of each game to have a feel for what's going on. And for those teams playing, it's an exciting time of year.
All right, Kelly, we'll let you go. We appreciate the time. We look forward to talking with you quite a bit here down the road as we look forward to the season coming up here. We get going in September and October. So congratulations again. Well-deserved. And I think fans, and we've talked about this before, they have a very bright future to look forward to with the Vegas Golden Knights, because there's a lot of stability, not only in the front office, but a lot of returning players that will probably be coming back as well, too. So looks like the Vegas Golden Knights are in really good shape moving forward.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. There he is, Kelly McCrimmon, the new Vegas Golden Knights general manager, promoted last week. He was the assistant general manager and working in concert with George McPhee. And his role, he's got, like I said, the new business cards will be coming in, but George McPhee will still be actively involved. Kelly McCrimmon will still report to him. They will work in unison with each other. Bill Foley, part of that. Gerard Gallant, heavily involved as a head coach as well, too. So good stuff from Kelly McCrimmon. When we come back, we talk a little Terrible Tuesday. We'll rant on the NBA, Major League Baseball, a little Derby talk, and who knows what else. T.C. Martin Show on Fox. All right. Glad to have you back with us on a Tuesday.
What is this, the theme song from Chips?
No. Where are you coming with this? This is Brass Construction. It's called Movin'. It's one of the greatest jams of all time, as Rick Harrison would say.
It sounds like it should be a theme song to a 1970s cop show.
Well, that was a mix, actually, that I put together. You noticed that the zap part was in the beginning, and then I mixed it into Brass Construction.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, there you go.
Okay.
Can you see yourself dancing and jamming on the floor with this?
No.
you can't just You know, go to your hang out at your local bars in New Jersey and dance to "Dancing in the Dark" by Bruce Springsteen.
Listen,
and the E Street Band. Okay, you've got to get out. Didn't you ever go to club? Well, you know, it's already done by the time you.
Yeah,
were,
Studio 54 yeah, was
exactly.
gone.
Yeah.
Did you ever go?
No, I never did.
Oh.
See, back in those days, I wasn't going to New York City very much.
Oh, okay.
See, back in those days, I was pretty much all West Coast based.
And we know Sacramento's a cow town, so you didn't have any hit places like Studio 54 there.
What are you talking about? I had several of those places. You know, I DJed and managed and promoted in those places. What are you talking about?
In Sacramento.
In Sacramento. Where do you
think, Sacramento.
Where do you think TC and the Soul Patrol used to perform? I mean, come on. Galactica 2000, the second level, the underground nightclub, the Steamboat. Are you kidding me?
The Steamboat, huh?
That's right. All these great spots.
That's clearly a ripoff of the old Showboat casino that used to be here in town, right?
I don't think the Showboat had any steam coming out of it from discoing down, my friend, with the colored panels on the dance floor.
Oh,
with
my God.
The mirror balls and everything.
So it was like when the gang from Peanuts would go out on the dance floor, the lights change colors on the floor. Yeah. And,
you know,
oh
and
my
you want to come back to Sacramento with me to the Sacramento Sports Hall of Fame? Do you know people in Sacramento listen to this show religiously?
I just tell them I know Ken O'Brien and I'm good.
And you're bashing? You don't bash Sacramento.
I'm not bashing it. I'm just
it
speaking.
Sounds like
I'm just now. Hey, you know, sometimes you have to be comfortable with the truth even when it's uncomfortable.
Well, you don't know the truth. That's it. You have to have other callers calling and telling you about the way it was back in the day. They have to educate you, hearing it from me.
I have family who I lost contact with who are from Sacramento.
Well, that's a shame.
It is a shame.
I don't know which part of it is a shame.
The whole thing.
Evelyn Champagne King in a shame.
Is she? Oh, that's a good song, actually.
See, you like that
I
one.
I do
but
like
you don't
that
like
one.
Brass Construction?
Evelyn Champagne King was good. That's,
you can mix those two songs together,
by the way.
She
had some really good... she had another hit, too, right?
She had plenty. What do you mean another hit? She had Love Come Down.
Oh, that's a really good one, too. Yeah.
They have all kinds of them.
I like the little like keyboard in the beginning.
Bet You She Don't Love You. It's another one you're probably not familiar with. Have you heard it? Who knows?
No, probably not.
We can go nonstop all day.
I know there's another song of hers that I know too, but
oh, that's a great one right there. Now, if you were an old time Bundesliga guy,
yeah,
you would know this. And there's some old time guys that know this. Soccer Made in Germany, which brought me to watching the Bundesliga when I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Right? The theme song was Shame by Evelyn Champagne King.
Really?
That was the theme in the beginning when they would say, Soccer Made in Germany with Toby Charles, and they'd have Shame playing. Yeah, and when the credits would roll at the end, Shame.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool.
I hope she got royalties from that.
I doubt she does from PBS. So, PBS isn't dishing out
nothing. Wait, PBS was showing Bundesliga soccer?
No, Soccer Made in Germany, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Weekly, they would take a weekly game, and it was delayed, obviously, so they would cut it. They would cut it up
into like an hour, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And it was fantastic because at halftime you had a beautiful kind of little thing. It was called something like What's Happening in Germany. It was like, and they would show like the mills and everything. They have like
really?
A 3 or 4 minute thing. Yeah, I can't remember the name of the halftime thing. But
what's happening?
Called,
so we're Raj and Rerun dribbling the basketball.
No, it wasn't What's Happening.
Down
I can't believe I'm drawing a blank with that. But
another great theme song, by the way.
What?
What's Happening?
What's Happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah, but that wasn't a real song. That was concocted for the television show.
But it's still a good theme song.
All right. You know what's a good theme song?
What's that?
This one right here.
It's I hope that's what you're going with. Tuesday.
Very nice.
That's terrible.
Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
That's a terrible idea.
I want to know what the hell he's smoking.
Something stinks in here.
That's terrible.
It's Terrible Tuesday. Things gone wrong in the sporting world.
That's what we call chemistry, my friend.
I like it.
Kentucky Derby controversy. We talked about it yesterday. Let's hit it again. Maximum Security disqualified after running a beautiful mile and a quarter. Was definitely the best horse in the race, at least he was on Saturday, only to be taken off the board. Called for impeding the paths of several horses. We had a 22-minute inquiry. I've seen my share of inquiries over the day. Been at the track, seen it on television as well. I've never seen a 22-minute inquiry. They wanted to make sure they got this one right. And after it was all said and done, yes, he was the first Derby winner to be disqualified in the 145-year history. Now, his owner, Gary West, wasn't happy about this at all. He attempted to appeal, and the Kentucky Horse Racing Board denied the appeal. That's right. Denied. Just like they denied our good friend in... why am I going blank?
I have no idea.
Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, yes. Denied
Morgan,
parole.
Morgan Freeman's character. What was his name?
Oh, God. I don't remember.
I know, but denied.
Denied.
Yeah, hit it with the thing.
Tim Robbins was good in that movie, too.
Very good. But anyway, yeah, so they denied the appeal, and now Wes says he will file a lawsuit. Can you believe this? A lawsuit? That's not going to get you anywhere. And Maximum Security will not run in the Preakness.
Neither is Country House.
Well, that's what I'm getting to. There's my segue.
Oh.
More terrible news. Country House, who was declared the winner at 65-1, will not run in the Preakness either. Trainer Bill Mott. By the way, did you know Bill Mott? They were
heir to the Mott's applesauce.
Is that the guy?
No, I have no idea.
It might be. This guy's been around forever. I love Mott's applesauce.
I would imagine if it was, he'd probably have a horse that was better than 65-1 in the Derby.
Yeah, but this guy, you know, he's a world-class trainer. And he's in the Hall of Fame.
Bill Mott?
Bill Mott went to the Hall of Fame. He has over 3,000 victories as a trainer.
Really?
Yeah. Remember the horse Cigar? Way
yes.
Back in the day? That was his horse.
Wasn't there one Cigaro as well?
Could be. But he had a lot of great horses. But anyway, over 3,800 wins to be exact. Over 3,800 for Bill Mott. But, he never had a Derby winner, and now he got one. And here was his quote. Why that Country House will not run in the Derby. He developed a little bit of a cough this morning. His appetite is good. He doesn't have a fever, but he's coughing. We drew blood. He's acting like he's going to get sick. He's off the training list, and he's off the training list for now. He's off the Preakness list. It's probably a little viral thing. Hopefully it doesn't develop into anything serious. Usually when something like this happens, a horse misses a couple of weeks of training. He's not seriously sick right now, but he's showing indications that something is going on. Shouldn't we wait a little bit?
Yeah.
Can we wait and see what happens? You may go get the horse some Kleenex or something, pop a couple pills, give him some vitamin C, give him a shot in the ass of a B vitamin or what do they call it? I mean, come on now. Are you kidding me? We've seen horses rapidly recuperate from all kinds of illnesses. We're 2 weeks away from the Preakness. Isn't this what you train for? Isn't this why you purchase a horse so they can run the Triple Crown and lo and behold, run the Derby, the Preakness, and maybe even win the darn thing? This is what you do? And we're going to say, he's looking a little sick. Doesn't have fever right now. Are you kidding me? Something's wrong here.
Yeah, you know what it is. This is my horse. Probably shouldn't have won the Derby. Yeah. Isn't going to win the Preakness. And definitely isn't going to win the Belmont. I can make more money putting this horse out to stud. Because if he falls in those two races...
His stud fee is not going to be worth nothing, man. Because, first of all, anyone who watched the race can have like the little asterisks. He didn't win the race. He's 65-1.
He's technically the winner.
Technically the winner. When you go to stud fees, it's not like, and there's a technical winner here or whatever. Here's that. No, it's like they're gonna look at his whole body of
work.
But
they're gonna say he was up there, right? He had to be in position to win when Maximum Security got DQ'd.
Yeah, but
and let's be honest,
he wasn't
right?
winning that race. He wasn't even gonna be in the money of that race.
There was another horse that was the favorite that pulled out. Remember?
Right. So. Right. That's true. So we will not have a Triple Crown winner. We won't even have the hope of having a Triple Crown winner because neither one of these horses are going to be involved, and Country House has a little bit of a cold.
Now, how bad are the ratings going to be for the Preakness?
There you go. Exactly. You know the last time a Kentucky Derby winner didn't saddle up for the Preakness?
I do know this.
Okay.
1996.
Yeah. Do you know the horse?
No.
Grindstone.
Grindstone. Wow.
Not to be confused with the movie Grindhouse
or
by
Quentin
Tarantino. And Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah.
You know that movie,
I do
right?
know that one, yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was where he played Machete.
Yeah, it was a great bloody mess. So Grindstone, that was an injury. Since 1932, here's one for you, my friend. You can use this in your beer pong trivia or whatever.
Oh, boy.
Since the Preakness ran, since 1932 after the Derby, that's how long the Preakness has been going, a couple weeks after the Derby, since 1932, it has happened only 10 times that the horse has not run in the Preakness. Four times, get this. It was because of rest. what is this, a NBA late season team with Greg Popovich? I'm going to arrest some players?
Sounds like LeBron taking some games off down the stretch.
If you won the Derby, why are you going to rest for the Preakness? It's insane.
That was a different time, I'm sure, for a lot of those horses. You know, it could be travel. I mean, how long ago?
They're still traveling the same way, my friend. They're not getting on airplanes.
Listen,
the
Derby's 145 years old. I mean, it could have been. You know, a lot of them probably were early on.
Yeah. So, like you said, and I'll echo this. Okay, with several horses resting now for the Belmont, this could be the worst Preakness field in quite some time. No Triple Crown element. Not even the horse who ran the best race in the Derby is there. Okay, with Maximum Security. What is there to watch in 2 weeks at Pimlico? Seriously, what is there to watch?
Nothing, unless you bet on it. If you don't bet, if you're a casual bettor, you're not even watching. The only people going to watch are the hardcore horse players because...
It's a shame, man.
Because nobody cares now.
It's horrible.
I mean, look, I get it. It's a live animal. You have to take care of it. But from a TV rating side, and I'm not one of those guys who really harps or cares about the ratings, but... If I'm NBC, I'm like, oh, my God, really?
Yeah, this is devastating
for them. They're like, yesterday we lost the XFL, and now today we're finding out that we're going to have no real interest in the Preakness?
So Maximum Security's owner is saying, well, that's fine, you know, sour grapes, whatever, so we're out. And then Country House, well, let's see, maybe this wasn't a fluke. And what would the odds be if Country House is going to run in the Preakness? Instead, we get, no, he's got a little bit of a cold. It's not like he's got had to be put out to pasture, has a broken hoof. None of that.
Yeah.
He might have a cold. How is that going to sell? It's going to make anybody watch this race.
You imagine being a guy on the New England Patriots going to Bill Belichick and telling him, yeah, coach, I'm not going to play today because I might have a cold.
That sounds kind of familiar. That's kind of familiar with number 84 wearing the black and gold last year. Would he say?
Yeah,
Antonio Brown.
And look what happened to him.
Yeah, goodbye. I'm Dirtchy.
Go buy a house in the Bay Area, pal.
Right.
Or rent one for a year.
Exactly. All right.
A little late.
This is irritating right here.
Oh, boy.
This is irritating.
Is it?
Major League Baseball.
Yes.
You know the DL is no more.
Yes.
You understand that, don't you?
They have the IL, right? Injured list?
We now have the IL. Yes. That's right. The league made the change this year out of concern that the term disabled for the disabled list, which we've known for 100-plus years.
Yes.
Players falsely conflates disabilities with injuries and an inability to participate in sports. Here's the translation. You don't want to offend people with disabilities. How in the world are we offending anyone that is disabled? You know the term disabled? The disabled list has been around since, 1966. I haven't heard anyone complain that it was offensive to anyone. The meaning of disabled means not able to do something. That's what it means, right?
Yes.
Mean like you're injured and you are not able to play baseball for this period of time. That's what it means. Let's don't make this something that it's not, like we tend to do all the time here. Are you kidding me? You think that people are knocking on the door saying, don't call it the DL anymore because you're offending disabled people. No one is saying that. What is wrong with Major League Baseball? Don't be changing my vernacular, my terminology. It's the DL. The IL? What is that? That sounds like some bad axe-throwing league competition that you were in last week.
Well, how about this one? Whenever you watch the news, and I don't know how much news you watch, but sometimes you see stories, right, where a guy tries to maybe he robs a bank or robs a McDonald's or whatever, and the officers will show up and they're able to, quote-unquote, disable the assailant?
Right.
Are they going to have to change the wording for that now? I mean, seriously, I don't know anybody who says, you know what? I'm in a wheelchair, so I'm completely offended by the fact that Major League Baseball calls their injured list the disabled list. Like, I've never met anybody who's offended by that.
It's ridiculous. It's insane. And no one would infer that to begin with. This is just Major League Baseball. Just quit messing with my stuff here, right?
And the thing is, I'm perfectly fine with, if it's offensive, you change the word, right? Like, there's a lot of words that we've eliminated from our vernacular that we don't use anymore. But
that's not one of them.
That's not one. Like, I'm not Mr. PC, but I'm also like, okay, I can see that. But, to be PC for the sake of being PC without anybody complaining about it, It was like the idiot owner of the Giants a few years ago coming out and saying, oh, well, I got thousands of letters from fans telling me that they don't like the fact that Colin Kaepernick is kneeling. It's like, and yet 75,000 people showed up to the Giants game.
Right, right. All right, man. Your next mistake, I'm going to put you on the IL.
I want to go back to the disabled list. Okay. I like that.
No kidding. Well, the calendar just turned to May.
Yes,
Major League Baseball, as you know. We've less than 30 games played, and Philly fans are booing Bryce Harper.
That didn't take long.
He's batting 226.
Yes. He's got, like, what, three home runs?
Yeah, just raised it up to 226, by the way, all right? Fans in Philly are already fed up with his attitude. He's got one ejection, by the way, that I know. Maybe he even has more than that, but I know he has one ejection. And guess what? The Phillies are in first place.
Yeah.
What are you complaining about? Why are you booing your number three hitter? You loved him 45 days ago, 30 days ago, and now you're booing him. Your team's in first place. Granted, they're 19-15, and that division's a wreck.
Yes, it is.
You know.
But I know.
It just cracks me up. Here's the best part about it. You're familiar with Smash Mouth, right? I should have probably had Smash Mouth played.
See, no, I know the story, and I wish I had known that you were going to do it because I would have absolutely had, like, All Star or what was the other song they had from Shrek? Then I saw her face. Dun, 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 dun.
That was them, too. That's right.
Yeah, they did exactly. That. Yeah. Yeah, they had another song, too.
I liked
Walking
All-Star.
On the Sun.
Yeah, there you go. Look, you just named three. All right,
that's about as far as I can go with my Smash Mouth.
This may contradict what the Phillies know about Smash Mouth, but here's the rest of the story. So Smash Mouth chimed in on Twitter. And if you know anything about Smash Mouth, the Bay Area guys, giant season ticket holder.
I didn't know that until I read the tweet. Yeah.
So here's the tweet. Yo, Bryce, told you to go to Philly. Or not. So what did he say? He told you not to go to Philly, you jackass. Giants fans never boo their own players. You were led by dollars, only so you can swim in the sea of booze now. How much do you love your agent now? Worth the, worth the boo, or worth the taxes you avoided? I can't even read my own writing. Yeah, worth the taxes you avoided because he didn't want to go to California because he's going to get taxed there,
yes.
I guess. And he goes, oh, by the way, how's the 45-minute drive to the stadium? So I kind of liked Smash Mouth chiming in a little bit there. That was nice. So the Phillies got a hold of this, and they responded this way. Hits since 1998. Smash Mouth, 1. Bryce Harper, 947.
That's pretty good.
That is
pretty good. Look, and the reality is...
They're both good. You know, both. I like the jab from Smash Mouth,
yeah.
And I like the Phillies' retort.
Well, and you know what's funny? Like I said early last season when the whole thing became apparent that he was not going to re-sign in Washington, I said, oh, he's going to go to the Giants. It's a perfect fit for him. I was wrong, but let's be realistic. I grew up an hour from Philadelphia. I was just in San Francisco. I would much rather live in the Bay Area with the amount of money that guy's making. I don't think I would lose sleep over the taxes. I get it. Look, there's parts of rural suburbs outside of Philly that are really, really nice. Parts of Jersey, parts of Eastern PA that are really, really, really nice. But do you really want to deal with the commute and the cold? And the fans.
Well, you know, remember, too, I thought he would go to L.A. You know, a lot of people thought, okay, West Coast, it's going to be San Francisco or L.A. I did not think he would go to Philly because I thought that he wanted to get out of the division, didn't want to face those Nat fans and be in the same division as the Nats. But he clearly went to Philly because they offered him the most money. That was it. Had nothing to do with taxes. Had
or
nothing
winning.
To do with location or exactly.
Although I still think Philadelphia will win a World Series with Bryce Harper there.
Oh, wow. Then again, if he's going to be there for 13
years,
I mean, what would be the line on that? It'd probably be minus 200, minus 180 that he wins one.
They may get lucky. They may find some diamond in the rough in their draft.
All right. There you go. Booing Bryce Harper. You got to love it. All right. Have you seen the latest rendition of the Toronto Raptors uniforms in the playoffs?
The ones that are like the red and white stripes.
There you go. Do you know what it says on it?
No.
Yeah. Watched this the other night over the weekend.
What does it say?
It's bright red and white. And let's be clear.
It's
refresh
like
my memory.
It's like a white stripe that comes down from
The Toronto Raptors uniforms used to be what? Purple.
Purple and
a little red, little white, right?
Yeah.
Now they
some
went
black
to,
in
they
there.
Went to some red, white thing and it says the North.
The North, huh?
That's what it says. The North. playing off a little hockey term or whatever, and the way it goes up like this with the angle with the north, you know, like it's pointing upward.
Well,
it's really lame.
That is kind of ridiculous. And our friend Brian Benowitz would tell you there's only one true north, and that's Winnipeg.
There you go. Very nice, my friend. All right. So remember, we had the land, right?
Yes.
That Cleveland mess.
Yeah, now, the land. That's dumb, too, right?
Because when LeBron was there.
Believe
the land. All the land. So on the jersey, it said the land. The Warriors, way back in the day, going back to the 60s and 70s, had the city.
Yes, because, now they have the town, right?
Now they got the town because of Oaktown.
Oaktown 357, baby.
It's driving me nuts. But this North thing just set me over the edge. Why can't we just keep tradition alive? Why can't you wear your same uniforms, keep the same color combination, and quit messing around? I don't know anybody that wants to go to the Toronto Raptors Walmart location or whatever and go buy one of those jerseys. Are you kidding me? Nobody wants that nonsense.
I'm sure there are people who buy it.
Oh, jeez.
Kids, man. It's all about the kids.
Kids, that was horrible.
The millennials.
If you want to sell that stuff, you sell it. The players don't need to wear it. It's embarrassing. And you can't keep track who's wearing white, who's wearing dark. You got to take both uniforms on the road with you because you have no idea what you're wearing. The Rockets wearing red at home last night. The Warriors wearing their traveling blue. You had red against blue going on. It's a joke, man. It's a joke. I can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, you're a little upset about this, man.
I don't like it. Let me give you some more NBA
nonsense. I'm waiting for the papers to get thrown up in the air and you walk out of the studio. I can't take it anymore.
Again? That happened a couple weeks ago.
Did it? I wasn't here for that.
You weren't when I ripped up the papers and threw it? You weren't here?
No, I don't think so. That must have been a Nick Nice day.
That could be. There you go. Maybe I was upset because you weren't here. You were in San Jose.
Yeah, but you like Nick Nice.
Good guy.
Maybe.
More NBA nonsense. Kyle Lowry gets into it with a Philly 76er fan in Game 4. I don't know if you saw this or not.
No.
So the fan, this ham and egger, is dressed.
The fan or Kyle Lowry?
Well, they're both ham and eggers, but I'm going to go with the fan. He's dressed in 76ers white jersey.
Okay.
He had chains on.
Oh, boy.
What are white guys doing wearing chains? They should be barred from wearing chains.
I wear a chain? What are you talking about?
No, you didn't have the Flavor Flav clock around
this guy did.
This is ridiculous.
If I had the ducats, I'd be rocking the ice, man.
No. This guy probably had a grill on and everything else.
I'd be going to visit Jacob the Jeweler in Chicago. I'd have the ice, man. I know exactly what I'd be doing.
This guy had a horrible look. So here's the real terrible part of the story. He comes on the court to challenge a call. Now, this ham and egger is sitting in the front row, which really leads to my terrible Tuesday. Why in the heck are we letting fans sit in the front row on the same side of the benches? Okay, I get it. You want to do your Gucci row, whatever you want, on the other side, that's fine. But on the same side of the benches, these ham and eggers are closer to the scorer's table than the head coach. That's not right. You don't need to. You tell me you need the extra $1,000 per game to sit. And when you look at these seats, there's only like six or eight of them on each side, right? So maximum maybe, 12 seats, 15 seats that you're putting there. No, get them out of there. It should be the benches, so the benches don't have to be all the way down in the tunnel. You see where the NBA benches are? At the far end?
That goes back to the Lakers, right? Jack Nicholson and Lou Adler.
By the way,
do you know what movie Lou Adler directed?
Do not, do I?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, a cult classic, throwing the toilet paper at the screen and everything
else.
But
Lou Adler's the guy with the white beard and the sunglasses who's always next to Jack.
Back in the day at the Forum, the way everything was set up, they were the only arena, the only one that did that. Nobody else did that. And now other arenas starting to do it, but they're doing it just like for the jerseys. They're doing it for the money. It's
absurd. Of course,
absurd.
It's all about the money. That's all that matters.
Keep those ham and eggers away. Why should that guy, that clown, be closer to the scorer's table? And you wonder why people are coming on the court? Hey, why do you think Larry David tripped Shaq and Curb Your Enthusiasm? He was sitting right there. Shaq came off the bench. He stretched out, put Shaq in the hospital, had to play Scattergories. You know,
Scattergories is a good game.
Yeah, and then Larry had to make it up to him by doing what? What did Larry have to do to make it up to him?
I don't remember.
He had to bring all the VHS, you like that? VHS episodes of Seinfeld, and he says, Shaq, I'm sorry. Shaq says, I'm not forgiving you unless you bust out the contest right now. Larry busted out the contest. They're playing Scattergories. They're watching the contest. There you go. Happily ever after. But keep him off the court.
I'm going to have to watch that episode
That's
now.
That's a great one. There's your terrible Tuesday, my friend. You got some you want to hit us? TC Martin 21, Fox Sports LV. We may even take your phone calls coming up next if you got that. NBA playoffs and a Game 7 in the NHL when we come back.
Ah!
Get on over to one of those fantastic CG Technology sports books and get the mobile app. That's right. You can bet the NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball. Great in-game wagering options as well. The new and improved CG Technology mobile app. Get signed up over at the Palms, the Silverton, Venetian Plaza, Hard Rock Tropicana, and the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. It is betting made easy, the CG Technology mobile app.
You think Benowitz is going to be happy that I gave a shout-out to the one and only True North?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Because it is. It is the True North.
I know he was very happy when we gave him a shout-out regarding the barbershop.
The barbershop.
Yeah, the barbershop. Were you here that day? You were here when I was talking about the barbershop. Cartwright? Yeah, of course you were.
Yeah.
Because Cartwright was getting his, and I talked about the Cosmopolitan, the barbershop.
The barbershop, yeah.
Yeah. We got to go over there sometime.
You'll like it. You know what else? I've been told by a couple players on the Golden Knights that there is a tailor in the Cosmopolitan that is fantastic.
Are you talking about Stitched?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've heard many, many good things about that.
Yeah. You know, I was given, this is a kind of a weird story.
Like if players on the team are telling me that this place is legit, I'm sure I can't afford to buy a suit there, but I might want to go in there and check it out sometime.
Well, I'll tell you what. You should go in there with me one time because the general manager or the manager of that place.
Of Stitched.
Gave me this card. It was like a big old thick card.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I should be saying this on the air or not, but I started, so I'm going to.
All right. Well, change the story real quick.
And he says, hey, he goes, do you like cigars?
Yeah.
And like, well, you know, he goes, you know.
We'll ask Cartwright if you like cigars.
Exactly. he goes, come on in. He goes, here's my card. And they've got kind of like a little secret passageway when you go through Stitch or whatever. And he goes, come in and have some drinks and some cigars.
Wow.
Through Stitched. So I think while they're doing the tailoring, this is part of the ambiance. Yeah.
That's really cool.
But I never took them up on it.
Oh.
You know, so I think I got to do it.
Yeah, I think you should. You know, I got to check that place out sometime. Yeah. I think I'm going to do it next time I'm in the Cosmopolitan.
You know what? Last time Cartwright was in town, we went over to the Cosmopolitan.
Yeah.
And I should have taken him over at that point in time, but instead I couldn't get him out of the shoe shine chair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like to get my shoe shine, too.
Yeah. And I said, dude, we got to go. I said, we got to get some food. We got to get going.
When I used to travel a lot and used to have to wear dress shoes all the time, I would always stop at the place in Newark Airport, and the guys would do a fantastic job.
Great shoe shine over the Cosmopolitan, and pretty reasonable, too. I got to tell you that, too. But, yeah, Stitch, the barbershop. It's the place, man.
The Chelsea is
oh, fantastic.
Fantastic place, yeah.
As you know.
I saw Duran there, and I was, I'll tell you what. I was impressed. First time I'd been in there, I said, this is a really cool place. Now, I would not want to be one of those people standing, but it's not much different if you go to, like, House of Blues, right? You're standing for that whole thing, too.
No, great. Not a bad seat. You know, we had boxing there a week and a half ago.
That'd be cool to check out, the boxing.
Oh, it's great.
Where do they set it up? They put it up on the stage?
No, put it right in the middle. It's beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Right in the middle. Oh, it's fantastic. All right, NBA playoffs tonight. Philadelphia, Toronto. Toronto, a 6-point favorite. Game at 5 o'clock, 7:30. Second half of the doubleheader. We've got Denver and Portland. Denver at home, a 5-point choice. Both of these series tied at 2 games apiece. Give me a winner real quick.
I'm going to go Portland, and I'm going to go Toronto.
Yeah, you're going to go north?
I'm
going to go north and mile high.
Fake True North.
Yeah, I'm going to fake True North and mile high. Denver's wearing that too. Mile high city.
Although our guy Riley Smith is from Toronto, but I don't think he's a Raptors fan.
There you go. All right, see you, Kawhi Leonard and your boy.
Or Blue Jays
Lowry
fan.
Can do something tonight. Game 7, real quick. It's the Stars in the Blues. 165 for the home team in the Blues. Who do you got?
I'm rooting for the Stars, but I think St. Louis is going to win.
Really? Yeah? All right. There you have it. All right, want to thank Kelly McCrimmon for joining us today. Vegas Golden Knights new general manager. Always a pleasure talking with the front office personnel with the Golden Knights. All right, have yourself a good one. We reconvene tomorrow at 3 o'clock. If you miss any part of the show, check out our Joe Cortez interview. That's up on the website as well. All kinds of great stuff up there at tcmartinshow.com, lvsportsnetwork.com as well. Have yourself a good one. JT the Brick coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 3.